Well, I welcome you to our Bible study today. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and welcome. And today we're going to start off a brand new study in the ABCs of Christian Growth, and this is going to be the letter J, the second study in the letter J, and we're going to talk about the topic of justification. Justification. Justification is one of the very important things that has happened. If you're born again, it is one of the very important things that has happened during your salvation. A lot of people just think that they called upon the Lord's name and they believed on Him by faith and they were born again, which is true. But behind the scenes and behind the curtains, there's a whole lot of things that have taken place to make your salvation perfect. For instance, they used to teach these things to babes in Christ. Matter of fact, when I got saved about 42 years ago, the very first thing they handed me was a book to start studying that had these things about my salvation to give me understanding so I could get in God's Word and find out what really happened and what took place during my salvation. Your salvation took a lot of things to happen in order for it to take place. And what we're going to talk about in this study is a lot of the legalities having to do with the Lord's courtroom. You see, there had to be some legal things to take place in order for the Lord to save you and to do it legally, and at the same time abiding by His holiness and His righteousness and not compromising anything about the Godhead. That's what justification is. And we'll get into that, but justification is part of your salvation, just like propitiation, reconciliation, redemption, remission, and sanctification. And all these things happened at the time that you got saved. And some of them are still going along. For instance, sanctification, it's still taking place and will take place until the Lord changes you and perfects you and conforms you into the image of Christ. Remission, redemption, all these things. And all this stuff took place at the time of your salvation. Like I said, it seems like once we got saved, I mean, the only reason it seemed that way is because we didn't know anything about spirituality. We were dead and without God in the world, and our spirits were dead, and we weren't able to know anything about the kingdom of God. But when we got saved, it's like the Lord flipped on a switch. God the Holy Ghost came and entered your body and is indwelling you now. And you have been, it's like light on, light off, light on. And you hear people singing, "I saw the light." Well, there's a little bit of truth to that. It's like the light has come on. The light, God the Holy Spirit, has, a spirit of light has entered you. And you are, you can recognize and hear and communicate in spiritual matters and with the Lord now. So, but there were some behind the scene things that had to take place in order for this to happen. It couldn't just happen. It had to all be orderly, and it had to take place orderly. And speaking of justification and getting into our study today, speaking of justification, you want to think more of the legality part of your salvation. Now, I'm not talking about the law. I'm not talking about you being good enough to go to heaven or you having done so many things or done more right than you did wrong and things like that. That's not at all what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is in justification is that you that your salvation has went through God's courtroom, and you were able to walk out of God's courtroom and every party that had to do with you either going to heaven or going to hell, with you either being saved or you being lost, has been satisfied legally in God's mind and in God's courtroom. So that's what we're talking about, justification. You think of the words, you think when you think of justification, you think of justice. Justice. Justification. It's a legal term and has to do, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So getting into our study of justification, let me just bring some things up. Let's ask this question. How are you going to come out when it's your day to appear in God's courtroom? Now, I say that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's a good, valid question for you. How are you going to come out when you appear in God's courtroom? When you have to show up in God's courtroom? And all of you that are saved, you're not going to appear in God's courtroom as far as transgressions and as far as sin and as far as being justified. You are already justified, and you'll see that as we go through this study. And the legalities have been taken care of for you. But for you lost people, and that you don't know that you've been born again, you need to be born again today. You need to accept Jesus Christ is your Savior and believe on the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe on Him as Savior and call upon Him to save you. And the Lord says that He will save you and write your name down in the book of life, and He will give you eternal life, and He'll never take it away, and you'll be saved for eternity. Now that's what God says. You can choose to believe it or not believe it. I believe it. And I know it to be true, and you will too after you receive it from Him. And everybody that's listening to this that is born again knows that I'm speaking the truth, and that God's not going to be manipulated by anybody. You're not going to find out anything about the Lord unless He sees that you mean business with Him. Those that come unto Him must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You don't like talking to people and communicating with people when they won't even put their eyes, people stand there and you're trying to communicate with them and y'all are talking back and forth, and all of a sudden somebody's looking off in the distance and you're talking and you just stop. And he says, well, what'd you stop for? Because you ain't listening to me. What's the use in talking to you? You know what I mean? So how you gonna come out? Now let me just begin this. How you gonna come out when it's your day to appear in God's courtroom? You know, that's a serious question, don't you know? The Scripture tells us that all men are without excuse, and they know that a reckoning is coming. Now, sadly, the devil and the world and the flesh are working just as hard as they can, and hard as they ever have, to try to hide this matter from man and deceive him, as if it was unimportant or a fable or perhaps a big so what, who cares? You know? And there's a lot of people that say that. You tell them that they're going to meet God one day, there's a reckoning coming, you're going to give account, so what? Who cares? Especially this crowd in 2022. Bunch of God-hating people out there that could care less, and they hold their fist up to God and dare Him and provoke Him. I had a friend one time that told me that he looked up to God one time. Now, he's saved, and he loves the Lord now. But he said there was one time in his life he looked up to God, and he said, come on down here, God, and I'll gouge your eyes out. Yeah. Not me, man. Well, anyone who's had to appear before a judge here on earth for something they did or didn't do finds out as soon as they enter the courtroom that pride and arrogance can be overcome by judicial scrutiny in a hurry. When you walk, there's a lot of jokers that'll go before a judge and stand there and act like a complete and utter idiot with no respect and ain't scared of nothing, and that lands them in jail, and if that has to humble them or whatever has to humble them. But going before a judge and going into a courtroom, if you've never been in a courtroom and you've never been before a judge, then you probably don't know what I'm talking about, but it does humble you. And it's like going before somebody that has control of things over you now. And it's kind of scary. But going before a judge here on earth, like for a traffic ticket or going whatever it might be that you go before him, it's kind of scary. And judicial scrutiny, that somebody's looking at you and judging you, and making decisions about you and who you are and what you've done and whether you're innocent or whether you're guilty, it takes its toll on you. Now, as soon as the judge calls your name and you stand up and go before him, fear begins to surface, whether detectable or not. And fear comes into you, and there's people say, "I ain't scared of no judge." You'll be scared of one of them. Moses said that he exceedingly quaked and trembled when he stood before God. He said when he stood before God, his body, I picture him talking about, he said quake, like an earthquake, like your body starts quaking like you've been hit with 220 volt or something like that, and it's just, and your body's just out of control. It's quaking whether your brain's telling it to or not. Your body is scared of God. That's the way Moses put it. Now, the only comfort that a defendant has in the courtroom is the peace that he is innocent and or the debt has been paid if he's guilty. Now, those are the only two things that'll comfort you when you're in a courtroom situation and a justice sort of situation. And we're talking about justification, okay? And part of the justification of a defendant is that he's innocent, he knows he's innocent, and he's trusting in his innocence to get him through this courtroom and justify him. Or if he's guilty, that the debt that he owes has been paid, and he's justified and able to walk out, and everybody's happy about it. You see, this is part of justification. Now, the only way someone gets to walk from a proceeding as not guilty is that their offense has been legally justified. That had to take place at your salvation. When you got saved, or anybody that is going to get saved, this has to take place. It has to legally be justified in order for God to accept it and save you and give you eternal life and forgive your sins and not damn you and put you in hell with his wrath that's already upon you for rejecting his son. You see? This is a very important matter when it comes to salvation. And it's a very important part of your salvation. Justification. It's a legal term, and it's legal. Its legalities are very important, having to do with your salvation. Because if they don't take place, you don't go to heaven. You see. And the Lord is very much a judicial God. He makes sure that all the loose ends are tied up and that they are valid and they are good and they are holy and they meet his requirements. You see, only God could have put this salvation, the gospel of the grace of God, in place. Man couldn't have done this. First of all, because man is evil. But, second of all, man's greedy. And third of all, man judges man unjustly. God doesn't do those things. God is God. And in his courtroom is righteousness and justice. And his justice is good and it's fair and it's equal. The scales balance, you see. And in order for you to get saved, all this had to take place in God's courtroom, if you will. Justification is another important doctrine in the Lord's Word that is rarely taught anymore. There's a lot of Christians out there that have no idea that there were legalities that had to take place in order for them to get saved, because they haven't been taught that. Preachers aren't teaching that anymore. They're teaching stuff like, let's just all get along and love the love of Jesus, the warm fuzzies and the yummy yummies and all that kind of business. And the Lord is beautiful and he is wonderful. But without Jesus Christ's blood and without this courtroom proceedings justification taking place, you better be scared of God. Because when you stand before him and this, and you haven't been through his courtroom properly, and the things been taken place, the things taken place that needed to take place in order for you to be justified in his mind and in his books, then you're in trouble. And I'm not talking about the law. I'm not talking about weighing the scales and finding out your goods and bads and all that kind of business. I'm talking about the plan that God has set in order that when somebody comes before him legally for salvation, then it has to take place in a certain justified manner in order for somebody to walk out of his courtroom justified before God and righteous and clean and holy and on his way to heaven and in God's family now. Even being adoption is part of your salvation. See, that's a legal term also. A lot of legalities had to take place in order for you to be saved. God had to do quite a bit of work to get you to heaven. All you had to do was believe. He made the easy part for you. And there's some idiots out there that won't do that. I can't believe the Lord would offer somebody eternal life to live forever and live without sin, without death, without sorrow, without tears, without crying, and no more thieves, no more stealing, no more being cussed out, no more having to lock your doors like you do today, especially because people coming in and shooting and killing people and stabbing people to death. That stuff is going on so much now, it's getting bad, folks. It's getting bad. But when it comes to God, I can't believe somebody wouldn't accept salvation right away when they heard it. But people are God haters, and they're turning against God, and they're going to pay for it. They're going to go through God's justified justice. They're going to go through God's justice, and as far as God's concerned, his wrath is upon them. And if they die and go into eternity without Jesus Christ, God ain't going to be their friend. You can count on that. But God's courtroom is very important, and when it comes to our study right here having to do with justification, it's something that has taken place during your salvation and your birth, you being born again in Christ into God's family. This has taken place, one of the things that's taken place. And when you think about being saved and being born again, add justification to the list, because it's something that has taken place for you and having to do with your account before God. Now, like we were talking about, justification is another important doctrine in the Lord's Word that's rarely taught anymore. It's another important thing that takes place during a person's birth in Christ, being born again. A lot of Christians do not have peace with their salvation because They've never been taught these important matters. Do you know anything about justification? And if you do, praise the Lord. If you don't, praise the Lord, we're going to study it. And you're going to see that this was something that had to take place. And the Lord didn't just save you and say, okay, go do what you need to do and I'll see you later. There's a lot of things that went into your salvation and had to do with it. Now, Christians don't have peace with their salvation because they don't know how much has gone into their salvation and how much has been really accomplished and done in order for them to be saved. It's just like somebody walked up and said, you want to be saved? Yeah, well, here's a certificate saying that you're saved. And now you're saved, but you don't know anything else about it. It's like going to court and all you want to do is be found justified, so you can turn around and get out of there as fast as you can and get away from being judged. You see. But leave there justified, you see. Now, if someone's not been justified when they die, they go to hell. Period. It's plain and scriptural. Now, let's take a look at this matter of justification and see what our Bibles teach about it. And let's go believing, okay? All right. Well, first thing I want to do is I want to take the words that God's Word actually uses when it comes to justification and define them. In other words, justification defined. I want to take every form that the scriptures use of the word justice. For instance, justification, justify, justifier, justified. there's some in there I can't even pronounce. I don't know how to say that. justificatory. You see, I'm raised in the woods. justifiable and just. These are things that the scripture, and justly. These are things that the scriptures talk about. And they have definitions, and I wanted to go over them because I feel like it's important for you to understand what justice is and what being justified is, and a justifier, and all these matters. And just plain old word, just, you see, because the Bible uses these words, and we need to know what they mean and know what the Lord means and their context of them whenever they're used in the scriptures, and know. Because we want to rightly divide God's Word, and we want to know what the Lord's saying when He's talking about justified and justifier and all these matters. Okay, so let's get into the Scriptures and find out. The first word that we want to study that is used in the Scriptures is justification. Now, where do we find that, and what does it mean, and how does the Bible use it? Well, in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 21 and 22, the word is not found in there, but an explanation of justification is. And it says, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Now, if there was ever a definition of justification in the scriptures, that verse describes it. You went from one state and status to a completely different form of status and state. It says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now," there's a change that happened, "hath he reconciled You see, this is legalities that are taking place. Yet hath he reconciled, how? In the body of his flesh through death. For what reason? To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. You see, you went from being an enemy to unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. But in order for that change to take place, there had to be justification. There had to be something that takes place that God's going to be happy about it, and he can justify it before the devil and all his accusations, and he can dismiss his wrath on your account and your sin, that all these things can take place, you see. So that's Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22 does not use the word justification, but it does define perfectly what justification is. All right, and that's not all. Jude chapter 1, verse 24 and 25 says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever." Amen. It didn't say the word justification, but it described justification. Well, what do you mean, brother? Well, in Jude there, he's saying, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless." That's the idea. To be presented faultless. Now, wait a minute. Am I a sinner? Does the Bible say that I'm a sinner? Yes, it does. Does the Bible say that the wrath of God is upon sinners? Yes, it does. Does the Bible say that there is a penalty for the wages of sin is death? Yes, it does. Does the Bible say that the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire? Yes, it does. Well, then how's God going to present me faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy? There's a big change in that right there from the wrath of God and the lake of fire. There's something that has to happen. And it's a legal thing. Justification. Justification. Because this is God's will. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, in between perishing and having everlasting life, it has to be justified and justification taken place. You see? What's justification mean? Now, we're talking about the word justification. It says, some of the definitions, I'm just going to read them to you. Accounting the guilty just before God. Now, how can a guilty person be accounted just? All right. There's something that's got to happen. All right. Another one is something such as a fact or circumstance that shows an action to be reasonable or necessary. A statement in explanation of some action or belief. The act of defending, explaining, or making excuses for by reasoning, account, circumstance, condition, consideration, exoneration, explanation, and vindication. The opposite of justification is condemn. You're either condemned or you're justified. You see? Very important matter. Very important matter. All right? That's justification. Now, let's move on. What about justify? Justify is a word that's found in the Scriptures. Yes, it is. All right? Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8 and 9. The Bible says, "And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." You see, God set in order a plan, but that plan has to be perfect and it has to be followed through with every case having to do with justification. And the Lord, it says, "And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith." You see, justify. Justify. Well, what's justify mean? Well, it means to show to be reasonable or provide adequate ground for. In other words, you're going to walk out of the courtroom without any charges and be completely exonerated. Justified. Well, first there has to be a showing to be reasonable or provide adequate grounds for this matter. Otherwise, you ain't going nowhere. You see, you have to be justified. All right? It means to show to be right by providing justification or proof. When you justify somebody, you have to show to be right by providing justification or proof. The reason this person is innocent and able to leave the courtroom justified is because there is justification or proof that he is not guilty, he's innocent. You see? That has to take place during your salvation in order for it to be successful. It means to defend, to explain, to clear away, and to make excuses for. Now, when we're talking about making excuses, that's not lying. That's making an excuse for by reasoning that it's a correct excuse. It's a correct reason. It means to let off the hook. To justify somebody is to let them off the hook. It means to absolve. It means to apologize. It means excuse. It means free. It means rationalize, vindicate, warrant. The opposite of justify is non-defendable. Also, without excuse. If you cannot be justified, you are without excuse. You're non-defendable. You're guilty. There's another word. Not only is justification found, not only is justify found in the Scriptures, but also justifier is in the Scriptures. In Romans chapter 3, and verse 26, it says, "To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness," talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, "that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." How about that? You see how this word is coming about and bringing the Lord and bringing God's courtroom into this matter? You'll see it all. You'll see it all. A justifier. Well, the Bible just told us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 26 that It says, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness as the Son of God and without sin, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Did you believe in Jesus? Jesus is your justifier. He's the one that made you just before God. And his righteousness is what was used to do it. We'll move on. It's going to all come together for you. You probably know more than I know anyway, but we're going to study it together and just help one another, ain't we? Justifier. What's the definition of it? A person who argues to defend or justify some policy or institution. It says a vindicator, an apologist, somebody that stands up like an attorney and defends you and justifies you before your accuser. And by the way, the opposite, the antonym of justifier is the devil's title, accuser of the brethren. Jesus is a justifier and the justifier, and the devil in the scriptures is called the opposite, an accuser. You see. What else? Well, not only justification, justifier is in the scriptures, but justified is found in the scriptures. Acts chapter 13 and verse 39, the Bible says, and by him all that believe are justified from all, get that, from all things. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, when you walk out of God's courtroom, you want to be completely and utterly cleared from all things so nothing ever comes up again, right? That's really being justified, isn't it? I mean, you're not justified if you walk out of there, but we'll talk about this other matter later. That ain't what we're talking about in God's justification. This justification and legalities that have to take place for your salvation have to be completely and utterly completed properly. As far as in God's courtroom and his legal matters of taking care of your salvation. It says in Acts chapter 13, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. You see? Very plain, very simple. The Bible says that you cannot be justified by the law. So if you can't be justified by the law, then what does that mean? That means you're guilty. And the scripture says, and by him, by who? The Lord Jesus Christ, all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. You see, that justifies a very important word, isn't it? Justification. Justification. There's another one. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. That's another word that's important for your salvation. Eternal redemption for us. You know, you can go and you can find out and you can say, okay, this is the matter we're going to use in order for me to be justified, to have justification, to be justified. All right? But there has to be a payment. There has to be something that's makes justification satisfactory. You see, It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves. That's what they used under the law, remember? They would bring goats and calves and pigeons and all sorts of animals, depending on what the Lord required for what sin. And they had to come and sacrifice them. And then that sin was not taken away. It was forgiven. But it wasn't taken away. Because the blood of goats and calves couldn't take away sin. They could temporarily cover them and forgive them, but they couldn't take them away. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Whose blood? The Son of God's blood. God's blood. But by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. Talking about up in heaven. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now that's justification. Eternal justification. I mean, if I'm going to be forgiven and I'm going to be justified before God, I want to be completely and utterly justified before God. I don't want nothing that the Lord needs to bring me before his bench about. I want to have complete peace with the Lord. I want to be at peace with him, don't you? Then that's why we need justification. That's why justification has to take place during your salvation. If the Lord forgave you and forgave your sins and saved you and you're on your way to heaven, but you know you were still in trouble with the Lord, that's not justification, is it? And then there has to be a payment in order for there has to be a satisfactory something to happen in order for him to say, okay, we're going to replace his guilt with this, and he's justified and free to go. It'll never be brought up again. You see, all these things have to come together. And you're going to hear me mention this stuff when we're going through there, redemption and remission and just all these different things that take place. It's all done legally. And everything that happened that the Lord did, the Lord Jesus Christ, man, he took care of a lot of things when he sacrificed himself. He took care of a lot of things. And we're going to go over every one of them, but particularly this one, justification, in this study. All right. We're studying that. Now, that one there that we looked at, Acts chapter 13, verse 39, we were talking about justified. I messed up. Okay, well, here's another one. Justifiable. Now, what's that mean? It means capable of being justified. Capable of being justified. Well, what's the opposite of that? Non-excusable. You can't be forgiven. You can't be justified. You're not capable of being justified. Justifiable is the ability, excusable, capable of being justified. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11, the Bible says, but that no man is justified by the law. Okay, if you're going to try to go before the Lord with the law, which our Bibles have already told us just a few minutes ago, that you can't be saved by the law. He said it wasn't possible. It says, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. So if you're going to go before the Lord and you're going to try to use the law to be saved, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. That's what the scripture says. You have to be capable of being justified, and the matter that's going to justify you has to be capable of justifying you also. The law is not capable of that. Because the scripture tells us that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. So that's not going to work. You better not use that. So what is justifiable? It says, in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. In other words, if you're going to go by the law, you have to measure up to the law. Let me ask you something. Have you ever lied? Can't use the law. The law says not to tell no lies, not to lie. Have you ever told one lie and knew you was lying and did it anyway? I have. I can't use the law to be justified. And I'm not justifiable by the law. Nor are you, nor is anybody. Because we know it in our hearts, and we know that we're guilty, and plus, we just read it in God's Word, not plus, but first, we just read it in God's Word that no man is justified by the law in God's sight. But yet, there are religions, if you will, and all these religious organizations and religious people in the world and religious gatherings in the world that think that they're going to get to heaven and please God and be justified and be justifiable by their works, that they can meet up to God's law. And the Bible plainly and just as literal and perfectly tells us you cannot be justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. What's he mean, it is evident? Have you ever lied? Yes. Then it's evident that you can't meet up to God's law. You've broken it already. You see? God's word is on our side. He wants you to understand what you are and how this justification has to come about. You see? Justifiable. All right, what about just the plain word just? Now, that's a big word that's used a lot in the scriptures. Just, J-U-S-T. What's the definition of it? Used especially of what is legally or ethically right or proper or fitting. Anytime you go through a courtroom and legal matters and stuff like that, it has to be right and it has to be proper. And everything has to fit in its perfect place in order for proper justification to take place. It means fair to all parties as dictated by reason and conscience. Everybody's happy. This is the right thing to do. This is the right way to go about it. Everything meets everything and all is fair to all parties. To be just, it means to free from favoritism or self-interest or bias or deception, conforming with established standards and rules. Well, the law is established standard and rule when it comes to God's courtroom. And if you go into God's courtroom unsaved, and you're walking on this earth unsaved, and you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior, then God's courtroom at the white throne judgment is going to use the law against you. And you're not going to be justifiable because the law is going to condemn you. And if it condemns you, then the wrath of God abides on you. And you're going to end up in the lake of fire. That's what the Bible says. So you see how important this justification is? So where do we get justified? How do we get justified before God? You see? All right. What's the opposite of just? Well, unjust. One of the definitions for just also is of moral excellence, fair, good, upright. The Lord tells us in the Scripture that if we see, He tells us in the Scripture that while we're living in this body down here on earth, that He knows that when we hear, and like for instance, you could get on the news this evening and see that there's some judges that have judged wrongly. There are people that have been sentenced and found guilty, and so much things are going on. I mean, to find justification in today's society, would you want to take a chance? Not me, man. Not me. See, the problem with continuing to make rules and make laws is that you got to go by them. And pretty soon you got so many laws, there's no way to be justified. The law finds you guilty. You keep on, it's like God keeps on saying thou shalt not, and just keeps on thou shalt not until you're absolutely and utterly condemned, and there's no way, thou shalt not breathe. You know? But God doesn't do that. God is fair and the Lord is beautiful, but I'm just using that for an example, you see. That's how the law is. Now, God's law is perfect, and it's beautiful, and it's just. And if you could live by God's law, you'd be wonderfully happy. Yeah. But the thing is, something's wrong with man. He can't live by God's law. Something's wrong with him. He's not justifiable. And he's not just. And he's got to find some way to be justified. Because justification is required in order to go to heaven. You see? Now, what does justly mean? J-U-S-T-L-Y, justly. That's used in the Scriptures. Luke chapter 23 and verse 39. Now, I'm showing you a lot of these Scriptures that don't actually use the word, even though they are in the Scriptures, but they define it. They show you in the Scriptures what the matter of justly and just and justifiable are. Justly, in Luke chapter 23 and verse 39 through 41, it says, and one of the malefactors, which were hanged, talking about the two thieves that were hanged on both sides of the Lord Jesus Christ at his crucifixion, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him. In other words, just started talking ugly to the Lord Jesus Christ and railed on him and said, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. You see, justly. A man hanging on the cross, one of them did not realize that he was being justly condemned, and one of them did. He said, this is what you get, and this is what you deserve. We are justly getting our rewards. We're being crucified because we're thieves. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The due reward for sin and anybody that has sinned is death. And that's not just talking about your body dying. It's talking about Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. Everybody in hell is there justly. They are receiving the due reward of their deeds because they were not justified properly, and they the law didn't do it. The law sent them to hell because they broke it. What's justly mean? With honesty. In accordance with moral and social standards. In other words, the Lord's word. Something that's right. It's rightly done. Justly. Well, what's the opposite? What's the antonym for justly? Unjustly. Have you ever been treated unjustly? There's a lot of that going on today. Everybody's getting on that train. Well, I've been treated unjustly, unjustly, unjustly. But ain't nobody mentioning God, and that's the one that counts. That is the one that counts. Justly. You see, the Lord, as with adoption that we talked about earlier, wants all men to be justified compassionately. But he also requires that it has to be legally accomplished because of his holiness and his righteousness. Is this coming together for you a little bit? You see the very importance of it, how it all has to. You take your fingers and just cross them in front of you with your other fingers, and you just kind of squeeze together like you're making a double fist by holding your hands together and intertwining all your fingers. That's the way your salvation has to come together, and every one of those fingers is an individual thing that has to be done and accomplished perfectly during your salvation. Adoption, justification, redemption, sanctification, all these things are a finger in that that has to come together perfectly in order for your salvation to stick. You see? Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You see, if there wasn't any laws, nobody would know anything about you breaking any laws because there's no laws. But since God does have laws, then the law is what gives us the knowledge that we're sinners. All right. Well, we've gone quite a bit. We'll stop right there, and that's perfect. So we've jumped in and defined this matter of justification a little bit to where we could understand it and understand where it takes place and why it takes place and how it takes place, and that is its necessity having to do with your salvation. Now, if you're born again, this has already taken place for you, whether you knew it or whether you didn't. It's already taken place for you, and you're going to understand it when we're done and what the Bible says about it and how important and how wonderful the Lord is that he took care of this matter for you. I didn't know this took place when I got saved. I didn't know nothing. But I'm thankful that the Lord had it all worked out. And that's why we're studying this, so we can give God glory and love him even more, knowing what he has done in order for us to be saved and be able to live with him for eternity. Amen? All right, brothers and sisters, let me give you the scriptures for today. And if you want to, you got your pens and paper? Okay. All right, here's the first one. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Jude chapter 1, verse 24 and 25. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Romans chapter 3, verse 26. Acts chapter 13, verse 39. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. Romans chapter 8, verse 30 through 33. Let me make sure I ain't getting you. Okay, Romans, I said that one. Luke chapter 23, verse 39 through 41. And the last one for today is Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Verse 20. Okay? All right. Well, that winds up our first lesson in the matter of the letter J in our ABCs of Christian growth, which we're studying justification. Justification. And I pray that you'll continue, and I know that you will, to study with us. And let's just go through this and some of the other topics that we're going to begin looking at and getting into the study. We just defined justification briefly today, but we're going to be talking about, firstly, on the next lesson, the negative side of justification. The negative side of justification. And then after that, we'll go into the acceptable things the Lord says can justify man. The acceptable things. You say things? Yeah. The acceptable things that can justify man. That's what I want to know, don't you? Of course, it's already taken place if you're born again, but you'll find out what has happened and what God's done for you. So there we go. All right. Well, you have a wonderful evening or morning or whatever it is that you're having. And I appreciate you. And don't we have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Lord that has done all these things behind the scenes and saved us when yet we were sinners. You see, Christ died for us. How wonderful He is. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.